Hello and welcome to Dealcast, the weekly M&A podcast from Merger Market. I'm Julianna Needham. I'm a business journalist and I've been writing about and talking about M&A for a decade. In this episode, we are heading back to Asia, where there's been a significant slowdown in deal making in the first part of this year. I'm joined from South Korea by the Seoul Bureau Chief and Editor for APAC, Kate Kim. Hi, Kate. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Julianna.
So let's start with the big picture. How has M&A in the Asia Pacific region performed in the first half of 2024? The first quarter deal volume was down significantly. So can you tell me a bit more about that and if the second quarter regained some ground?
Sure. So year to date, APAC M&A is down about 26% in deal value year on year, recording $240 billion from 4,150 deals, while global M&A deal value is actually up about 21% to 1.5 trillion around. But when it comes to the deal count, APAC declined 10% only compared to the 15% drop in global markets. So this means that while big deals are coming back in the US and EMEA, the average ticket size in APAC market remains small and the middle market deals were more active. And the second quarter activity has improved from the first quarter, and we are definitely on the curve of the improvement for deal making. That's the positive note. The interest rate cut hasn't happened as quickly as we hoped for this year, but there is a strong expectation for lower financing costs in the second half and a growing confidence in narrowing valuation gap and making up bigger deals. And I must add that these numbers are not really fully finalized to represent as a first half data. But I think, you know, these still could provide an up and down of the activity, giving you a bigger picture of APAC M&A.
Thank you. And there was a large decline in activity in China in the first quarter. Can you tell me a bit more about that and activity in terms of other countries in the wider Asia Pacific region, please?
Sure. So China M&A market is still suffering. It is in a slow recovery with ailing domestic property market, geopolitical tensions ongoing, and persistent high interest rate. The activity is a 40% decline in value from the first half of the last year to $82 billion for this year. So that's the lowest record since 2012. And China has been the biggest pie in Asia, as you know, and it used to comprise more than half of the APAC market share when it comes to the M&A. So this underperformance of China has dragged down the whole APAC data mostly. And the other major market, Japan, also saw a decline of the deal value about more than 30%, while the deal count is up 2% year on year. I can say that M&A activity is still going strong in the market in Japan. Corporate carve-out, shareholder activism, and active private equity investments are driving deals. But size-wise, last year was also very exceptional in Japan because there was a mega deal of Toshiba valued at nearly $14 billion last year. So we haven't seen this such a huge deal in Japan as yet this year, and that was also could be a little bit outlier for the data. And India was the only place that increased the deal value about 12% this year. Maybe this is not really surprising when you think about the booming economy and the bullish market sentiment have created plenty of deal opportunities. So telecom sector is also really picking up in the market, created big deals for the first half of this year, including a joint venture formation with Walt Disney in February.
Thank you. And you mentioned telecoms there. So looking at the other sectors, technology, with a lot of activity in computer electronics specifically, technology has been the top sector for deal making for some time. Can you talk through how the sector's performed and mention any other notable sectors, please?
Sure. So for sectors, the computer electronics or technology remains the top M&A industry for this year. And one interesting data point for sector is the surge of the real estate and property sector. This sector ranked as the second largest one driven by China. So there is a very active restructuring in real estate and construction sector in China, and this has boosted the deal value for this year. So for example, a Chinese real estate company Wanda sold a stake at more than $8 billion for this year, and it was the largest M&A transaction in APAC.
And can you talk through some of the major deals? You've mentioned one or two already, and any other trends that you've observed in the first half of this year, please?
Yes. One exciting trend in APAC is the rising of the take private transactions. So we have seen the deals in Hong Kong, Australia, and Japan over the years, but the number of deals and their value have increased a lot. And the trend is also extending to the other new markets like South Korea. Alongside Australia, which we presented in the earlier episode, Hong Kong has seen a really strong take of private transactions this year, with its undervalued stock market attracting investors to increase the shares. So when you look at the benchmark Hang Seng Index, it is hovering below 20,000 points, well below from the previous peak time of over 30,000 points a few years ago. So this also explains the rationale of the investors' action. And one major tender for deal of the Hong Kong market was L'Occitane International, the beauty and webbing products maker. And for the take-private transition, we also have to mention Japan as well, because the financial sponsors are actively seeking to involve in these situations, including MBOs. So, for example, Snow Peak, it's a Japanese very popular outdoor apparel brand, and it received an offer from a private equity firm as merger market scooped earlier this year. So, when it comes to the South Korea, private equity shareholders have been leading the transactions because they launched the delisting tender offer for their listed and very years old holding portfolio companies due to delayed exits. So the other, and apart from it, another flagging of APAC trend could be the private equity firms' increased focus for exit across the market. We see that GPs are really speeding up the efforts to give more returns to LP, especially the PE exit activity was really slow, especially last year. So for South Korea, out of the top five deals of this year, three of them are all private equity exit deals. The largest deal of the country was the Blackstone's exit of Korean business portfolio. But APEC-wide, the private equity exit data is not really fully recovered. Maybe it's not really reflected those efforts as yet. But I want to highlight that we are certainly seeing the increasing efforts returning to the last deals with several deals in the pipeline for the rest of this year.
Great. And that leads us on perfectly to the final question. So some major trends there. Companies becoming private and private equity exits. What are the expectations for deal making in the second half? Do you see a strong deal pipeline and do you expect those trends to continue?
Yes, sure. As I just commented earlier, we have several interesting deals in the pipeline, and there is a certainly better deal prospect for the rest of this year. So one interesting deal to watch is DFS. It's a global duty-free operator listed in Hong Kong. The largest shareholder, Louis Vuitton Group, is expected to launch the sale process in the second half, as we reported this month. So this will be the really major auction situation, attracting the cross-border interest from strategic and sponsor bidders. And in Southeast Asia, there are also several private equity exit deals are ongoing, and some of them will be materialized in the second half. Affinity Equity Partners is the Hong Kong-based private equity firm, and they have sold one portfolio company in Indonesia earlier this year, and they are now in the process of selling their stake in the hospital chain in Malaysia as well. And this auction situation will materialize in the second half. And carve-out deals, we also have to note as well for this year trend. The carve-out deals in China, Japan, and South Korea is also well expected for the rest of this year. So in Korea, the SK Group, the second largest conglomerate after Samsung, is really on the spotlight for deal makers. So the group is discussing about the non-core disposal and if or how to reorganize their internal operations. And the discussions are likely to be in full swing in the second half. And beyond Korea, when you look at the Japan as well, the Panasonic, the Japanese electronics giant, they also sold one subsidiary earlier this year. But they are also in process of selling other business unit, project business, as we reported. And so this sale process will also move into the advanced stage in the second half. So there are plenty of deals in the pipeline, I can say. So let's see how this situation will develop and how the APEC will end with M&A record at the end of this year.
Great. Kate, good to talk to you. Thank you very much. That was the Seoul Bureau Chief and Editor for APAC, Kate Kim. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Dealcast from Merger Market. I'm Juliana Needham. If you've enjoyed the podcast, please follow it. And if you're listening through Apple, please rate and review the show. If you'd like to find out more about what we've been talking about on this episode, have a look at our show notes. Join us again next week.